2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse number 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to read verses 8 through 17, but leave your Bibles open. We're going to be in here for a little while tonight, and I think that tonight's lesson will be helpful to you in just a very unique way. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 8, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set him for him a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now, keep your Bibles open. We'll come back to this. Let me recap this, and then we'll go from there. Elisha has passed through the city of Shunem quite frequently. One day, while passing through, he meets a well-to-do, probably business lady. She may have had like a little inn or a little cafe kind of place. It was just a place people would come and stop and eat and go on. And the Bible says that she was a great woman. That doesn't mean she was large. The word great there means wealthy or well-known, probably a person of prestige. And this lady and her husband talk, and they decide to build a little room off the back wall, basically, of their home for Elisha. The Bible says that he would pass that way continually. So he went through there a lot, and they said, Look, it'll just be your place. You can go in and leave as you want, its own entrance, just kind of a little place to go. And they could go in and out as he wanted. Elisha now can come and go as he pleases and stay whenever. By the way, that's probably where they get the term. Some churches have what they call a prophet's chamber. It's a place where they would host preachers or people passing through. That's probably where this came from. And it was a good idea, way to help the man of God. Elisha tries to think of a way to repay this couple for their kindness. He is there one day with his servant Gehazi, and he says, What can I do for this lady? Is there something that we could do? Maybe something from her homeland? He said, Look, she's from this area, preacher. He said, Well, what could be done? And he said, Well, her husband's getting old and they don't have a child. And Elisha said to Gehazi, Go get her. Elisha stands before this lady, and they bring her to him, and he says, I want to do something for you because of your kindness. And he said, In not so long, you're going to become pregnant. And she said, Right. My husband's old, and I'm getting to the point where that's not a good thing there, preacher. And he said, No. About this time, this season of life, you'll be embracing a son. And she said, Are you sure? Now, for some of you, that would be a curse. not a blessing. It would be a curse at my home for sure. But her heart was thrilled to think that she might become a mother. By the way, the Bible says in verse 17, "And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life." Now, here's this middle-aged lady, probably an older husband, and now they have a baby. This is an amazing story. But there's a lot more to it that we're going to get to tonight. Let me start with a couple practical things, and then we'll get a little bit deeper into this. Number one, Elisha had good business relations. Notice in verse number 8, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Now, notice something. There's a term there, "as oft as he passed by." It was someplace he went frequently. And obviously, he would try to do something kind for her in exchange for the food, whether it be money or something else. And there was a good business relation. This lady seems to have drawn a liking to Elisha. So much that she goes to her husband and says, "Look, I perceive that this man is a true man of God. Maybe we could do something even nicer than just provide a little food or a little bit of substance for him. Maybe as often as he comes by here, maybe he needs a place to stay. How about we build him a place to stay?" I want you to notice verse number 9. "And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God." He didn't go around telling her who he was. She just knew. You know, you don't have to tell people you're spiritual. They'll know by how you live. please don't take this the wrong way. I don't go around telling everybody who I am and what I am. Now, God knows after about 175,000 gospel tracts, I probably have the best known face in Berkeley and Jefferson County. Because everybody's got a copy of it 3 or 4 times. But people know by how I do business and different things. I promise you, if you followed me around to the business people that I trade with, you'll find out I've got a fairly good reputation. If you've come to me and said, "Preacher, I need this done, who would you recommend?" And if I say, "Go here and tell them I sent you," you'll hear it very often. "Oh, tell him I said hello. We like him." You say, "Why is that?" "Because I'm so likable." No, I honestly try to do good business. Our church has a good reputation in the area. Can I tell you why? We try to treat people the right way. We pay our bills on time. We do the things the way we're supposed to do them. And I believe that as a Christian, the better business deal, better business relations you have, maybe the less trouble you'll have down the line. There's a reason that sometimes God saves you money because of your tithing. It's because of your good business relations on top of that. Notice Elisha didn't go around telling everybody, "Look at me, I'm the holy man of God." He didn't walk around town strutting like a banny rooster with a $500,000 grapefruit on his head like El Papa. He just went to town. He did his business. He treated people rightly. By the way, there are some things I will and will not do because of what my position is. It's not that it's wrong, but there are some things that I believe that it's right for a person to drive the speed limit. Say why? How would you feel if your preacher kept getting speeding tickets all the time? What would that be like in the newspapers? No elbows, people, all right? Y'all are telling on yourselves. Now, wait a minute. I believe that it's right for me if I'm telling people they ought to follow the rules and obey, that I ought to follow the rules and obey. Wish Congress would do the same thing. Elisha had a good reputation, and he handled himself well with business associates. I promise you. There are some people I'll only do business with once because they don't treat us right. And it's not because I'm looking for a better deal. I can put up with paying full price. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is people's attitude in the process. Will they stand behind their product? And if not, how am I going to be treated? And there's a lot to that. My dad was having some work done on his house, and I had called the man who had built our church building, and I said, do you have somebody that is in this trade that I could recommend? He did. He came out to Dad's house. I was standing there, and he said, you're the pastor, aren't you? Yes, sir. He said, I did this lesson so on your church building. Oh. And he was able to help my dad with something. You say, what was? I didn't know who we were calling. I just took the recommendation of somebody else. Sometimes it's how you treat others. You don't know how it's going to come back again. So, number one, Elisha had good business relations. Can I challenge you? Treat people right with business. Don't try to get everything for yourself. I'm for people making a profit. I just don't want them to make it all on me. But at the same time, I don't want to rob somebody else. If you're going to sell something and you know it's broke, tell somebody where you think it might break. If you're going to sell a car and you know it's about to blow up, I'd be careful. Say what? Your reputation's on the line. If somebody wants to buy it and you say, look, I know this, and I know this about what's wrong with it, and they still want to buy it, that's their problem. But at least tell them, don't try to cover it up. What was it they used to do? Put sawdust in the oil pan or whatever to keep it running a little longer or different things. That's not what you want to do. That's crooked business. So, number one, Elisha had good business relations. Number two, this lady and her husband tried to help the man of God. This lady and her husband tried to help the man of God. They built a little room off the house just so that he had a place to stop when he needed to. They did not charge him rent. They said, it's here. There's a bed. There's a table. There's a chair. There's a candlestick in there. We'll make sure that it's like that. And if you need something else, you can bring it with you or whatever you need. But there's just a place for you to stop and do what you need to do whenever you want. You come and go as you please. But I want you to notice something. There's not one time in 2 Kings chapter 4 that this preacher, Elisha, asked them to do something for him. I love you, but I don't need you to do things for me. I want to do things for you. I appreciate when people help my wife and I. Believe me, good night. We get taken to dinner and we get invited to people's houses, and there's people that come help me do things at the house, and I try to pay them and they get mad at me, so I got to think of another way to pay them and all that kind of good stuff. You say, why? Because people love me because of my position, but I'm not going to take advantage of that. It bothers me when preachers are seeking to get things from their people. I will not use a name, and I will not, you couldn't get it out of me. There's only one person in this room, which would be my wife, that would know who this is, and I'm not sure that maybe she would even remember, but I know a pastor who every birthday, every anniversary, and every anniversary that he was pastor of that church, had to have the church collect money and buy him gifts. And if it wasn't as bigger than it was the last time, he was upset. Do me a favor. Just put the money in the offering and I don't worry about it. I don't need gifts. I need you obeying God. I'm not here to get things from you. I hope you don't know when my birthday is. I'd like to forget a few of them, amen? The more I have, the more I'd like to forget. In fact, I may be forgetting them, I don't know. But my wife and I's wedding anniversary isn't something that we need to collect money for at church. You say, why? Everybody has one. Now, I think we ought to do sometimes some special things. For our church, our 10th anniversary is coming up next year. We'll do something special for the church, but I don't want something special for me. I want it for the church. Y'all see what I'm talking about? It's not about me. It's about the work of God. Now, you all are kind. Good night. We get notes, and I get goodies. Somebody gave us Reese's cups and some kind of caramel candy, and just this last weekend, and the Reese's cups, I can't taste them, but I tell myself I can. there's just all kinds of things that people do for us. And we're thankful for it. But may I say this? You don't need to do that. We're here to do things for you. That's what we long to do. Brother and Mrs. Olton were here over the weekend. And they told me before they came, we want to take you and your wife to dinner on Saturday. I said, great. And he said, we're going to pay. I said, okay. So we went to Outback Steakhouse. We were sitting there and we all ordered. And as the waitress walked by me, I looked at her and I said, I get the bill. She said, I said it. And they were all talking. I had got my wife talking to them and they were all, and I said, I get the bill. And she's, okay. So when the bill came, I got the bill, and the Oltons weren't real happy with me, but I didn't care. I like doing that. And they were, but we've been saving for 3 years for this trip. And I said, good, put the money somewhere else, enjoy it. And you say, why? Because I enjoy doing things for, I get to pastor, he's an assistant pastor. He doesn't get to enjoy some of the perks that the pastors get. So why not spoil the assistant pastor? That's kind of fun for me and for you. I love it. This couple wasn't seeking attention. They didn't do it and put a sign over it that said, we did this for the man of God, Elisha, and have flashing lights on it. They weren't spreading all over town what they did. This was a way for them to do something kind for the man of God. By the way, it wasn't the only way. If you remember, she took care of him with food as he would pass through. She just wanted another way to express their appreciation to the man of God. They did it quietly. They didn't make a big deal of it. I know somebody that in one of the churches we were in, they had a little bit of means. And they had built something for the church, paid for it to be built. And they said, well, we don't want anybody to know that we gave it. But it was amazing how everybody in the church knew because they told everybody that they did it. But they didn't want anybody to know. That's not what this couple did. When men of God come through, learn to do nice things for them. Y'all took care of Brother Jackson very well. Y'all took care of the Oltons and were very kind to them. Brother Fugit will be here. He loves Reese's cups and different things. Can I tell you something? Take care of the man of God. Take care of the man of God. You say, well, preacher, how do just keep tithing. You're taking care of me. I get a salary. I'm fine. That's all I need. Don't worry about it. Everything be all right. But as visiting preachers come, missionaries, do something nice for them. Take a $10 bill or a $20 bill, fold it up and stick it in their hand. Do something for them as they pass through. Number three, and I've got to hurry here because we're getting to the serious part now. Elisha sought for a way to be kind back to them. Verses 12 through 14, we won't read them again, but he calls his servant and he said, Gehazi, what can I do for their kindness to me? I'd like to do something in return for the kindness that they've done to me. He took time to think what might be good for them. Everybody look at me for a second here. I'm gonna probably make somebody or somebody's mad at me tonight. Because you hand a piece of paper and a pen to somebody and say, give me a list of the things you want, doesn't mean you know how to give. Study somebody and figure out what they might want and get them without them asking for it. Maybe you ought to go through a Christmas without a Christmas list and try to find some things to give to people that they haven't asked for. You learn how to give when you put yourself in the place of someone else and say, what would they like? Did you know there are things I have given to my wife I don't like, personally, for me, but she likes them? She used to collect, they call those things, precious moments. Now, I've got about 14,237 of them sitting in a hutch in the house there. I bought almost every one of those stupid things. I mean, wonderful things. Now, it may not be something I wanted, but she did. It meant something to her. Now, buy me a box of 243 100 grain shells. Great, no problem. Whatever. But what is good for me, just because I like something, doesn't mean everybody likes it. When you give to somebody, quit looking through your eyes, look through their eyes. There are things I would buy for my children that I don't personally would like, but I know it's what they like. He would like something, LSU Tigers. Now, to me, that's stupid. Why would you want such a stupid college team? Go for Ohio State. It doesn't make any sense. My son Jeff, he would want Clemson. Our house was great when the boys were in high school. Let me tell you, because it's LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State, and all of us hated Alabama, so it didn't matter. And we would have fun during those times. Now, they liked those things. Can I tell you something? It's not a big deal to me. They may like it, but it's not a big deal to me. You find something that somebody else would like, not that you want them to like because you got it for them. Does that make sense to everybody? You learn to give by giving what the other person may want to receive, not because you wanted to give it to them. It's not about it. There's something about giving a gift that takes some thought. When there's thought that goes into it, it means that much more. Now, let me say this. He discovered something. Elisha discovered something only God could give them, but he could ask God to do it for them. He said, there's one thing that only God can do, and I happen to know God, and I'll ask him. They don't have a child. Lord, they've been good to your man. They've been taking care of him. And it's not normal, but would you give him one? By the way, I'm not going to pray for you all to have babies, all right? Unless you want them, I am not asking. And I'm definitely not asking for my household. Now, what's that? Nope. You can pray all you want, but trust me, I'm closer to him than you are. I can block that one real quick. He discovered something only God could give, but he knew God better than anybody. And he said, watch this. This was a living gift. There's been times recently my sister-in-law lost her dad to death after my mom passed away. My dad and I went together and we bought my sister-in-law a tree to plant down in Florida. And they call it Pawpaw's tree. Say why? A living memory. Our church, when Sarah Dorsey passed away last year, while I was down there, we purchased a tree to put in their yard, and it's a magnolia tree. And it's a beautiful thing. It's not a very big one, but it will grow, and it's always going to be there, and they call it Sarah's tree. Say, what is it? It's a living memory. We have our memorial tree out here. It's got my mom's name on it, Brother Fred's name's on it now on the plaques. And have you seen the mums around it? It's just flat out gorgeous right now out there. And you say, what is that? It's for us to remember. It's a living thing to remember somebody's life by. And that's what he was doing for them. Look for ways to be kind and readily express your love for people. You know, there are some people you express your love differently to. I'm going to make a statement here. Love unexpressed is like money in the bank doing nothing. You can die with $1 million in the bank. If you never used it, what good was it? Now, I'm not saying spend everything you have. But what I'm saying is look for ways to express your love to people. Brother Hiles used to say it this way, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You really don't care how much I know until you knew how much I cared. Then you began to want to know how much I knew. But I had to prove my care and my love to you before you cared about what I know. And that's exactly what God's talking about here. Now, this is the part that's exciting to me. Number four, Elisha is used years later to help them with a bump in the situation. Look at verse number 18. 2 Kings chapter 4, look at verse number 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now look at me. Years later, the child is grown. I don't know how old. He was probably nearing that upper elementary, younger teenage years. He went out to help his dad reaping in the harvest, and he said, Dad, my head is hurting so bad. And they carried him back to his mom, and he was there at his mom's knees as she probably rubbed his head, and the Bible says that he died with his head in her lap. She took that dead body, went to the room of the man of God and put his dead body on the man of God's bed. I want you to notice what else has happened. Look at verse number 22. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither the new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. She said, take off and don't stop till I tell you. So she went and came into the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that the man of God saw her afar off. And he said to Gehazi, his servants, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. She said that to Gehazi. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff and thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any man salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She said, look, you can send Gehazi all you want, but I'm not leaving till you go. Gehazi did go, verse 31. And he did what Elisha said, but he did not awaken. Verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. And he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and he prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon the child, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and he took up her son and went out. Now, let me give you a few thoughts here, and we'll finish up and go to the house. Number one, the boy runs to the field to help his dad, but his dad sends him home because he's sick. He goes home and dies. Mama goes and finds Elisha, and she says, look, I'm not leaving you, Elisha, till you get to my son. Gehazi, the assistant, ran, did what the man of God said, but the child didn't awaken. Elisha goes in. He prays. He puts his face and his hands on the body. He's begging God for the life to come back into the child. He begins to feel warmth in the child. He starts breathing. God answered Elisha's prayer. Let me make a statement here. She was upset. She was vexed. Her child died. But I want you to notice something. She ran to the man of God, not from the man of God. Too many people, when tragedy come, run away from the man of God. They don't run to the man of God. Can I tell you something? I don't care how bad it is. Run to the man of God. This preacher's there for you. My phone rang last night. One of our dear folks has an adult child that's pregnant, and they thought maybe the lady had lost the baby. Preacher, would you pray? I prayed with him on the phone. Half hour later, my phone buzzed and it said, everything's okay. Thank you for praying, preacher. Can I tell you something? I don't believe I spared the infant's... Hello? I don't believe I spared the infant's life, but may I say something? Somebody ran to the man of God, not from the man of God. When you run to the man of God in trouble, maybe you'll get through the trouble a little easier. Now, wait a minute. She blamed him at first. She said, didn't I tell you, don't do this to me? Don't give me a child? Don't mess with my emotions like that? Don't poke the bear? Isn't that what she said earlier? Now, after all these years, and I've raised my son, now he dies. I told you don't do this if this was coming. Can I tell you something? Even in her hurt, she ran to the man of God. She never got bitter with the man of God. She just needed help from the man of God. By the way, I'm going to make a statement here. God's man did not cause the child to die. There will be things happen in your life and in your family that I did not cause. I can't help that people pass away. I'm not in control of that. But people blame God. God didn't sin. We are all sinners. How about we quit blaming God? Well, God is the one that could stop all. Wait a minute. God can't stop it all. The wages of sin is death. We chose it when we chose to sin. So, well, I don't think that's fair. Well, you're not God. God's man did not cause it, but she knew to listen to him in spite of her brokenness. Please let me help you. There may be a time when you go through tragedy that this preacher will tell you to do something that may not make sense to you at that time. But if you'll trust me, I'll help you get through it. I've been through it time and time and time and time again. I've helped more people get through death, tragedy, sickness, you name it, in so many different ways. And if you'll just listen, you say, well, preacher, that does not make sense. It doesn't have to make sense to you, but if you'll just listen to somebody that's been down that way so many times, helping so many people, maybe you won't be bitter with God. Maybe you won't get angry at the people of God when they don't treat you the way they want. How many times have you heard me say from behind this piece of wood, people are lousy comforters. They don't know what to say in time of tragedy. Forget what they say and just accept the fact they said something. People really, you'd be surprised how many people really think they're helping somebody and you're just sticking a knife in and twisting it at that point in time. But you meant well. Okay, accept the fact they said something. Now, forget what they said. Don't worry about it. Don't take it so seriously. Maybe we should just learn to get through these things together. By the way, she didn't blame God. She blamed the man of God. By the way, she revealed her biggest fear. Her biggest fear was she'd lose her child. Isn't that always a parent's fear? My wife was pregnant with Mindy about 10 and a half months. She was very great with child. And she was talking on the phone and she looked out and Jeff had been in the backyard playing and she looked out and Jeff was no longer in the backyard. She was supposed to be leaving soon to go to the doctor's office. We were in Indiana. We were one block from a very main road. It would have been like Edwin Miller Boulevard. She goes down the driveway, said, Lord, which way did he go? And she looked towards Holman Avenue and she turned left and went up towards Holman Avenue. And here she is, 10 and a half months pregnant, going dook, 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 down the sidewalk, waddling as quickly as she could waddle. Her heart is racing. Where is my child? And she looks up and there's a man walking down the street holding a little boy's hand walking back at her. And she begins to get afraid. She runs up there and he said, is this yours? Yes. He was about ready to step into Holman Avenue. I stopped and figured I'd find somebody out here looking for him. And she brought him, he brought him back to mom and she got him back. And she was ready to hug him and paddle him at the same time. Got him in the car. They had to leave, go to the doctor's office. And they made her lay down at the doctor's office because her blood pressure was sky high. Now, wait a minute. Those are fears that we have. I remember we were elk hunting. My same son, Jeff, got lost. We looked for 5 hours, could not find him. It's getting dark. They were talking about the next morning calling to get helicopters out to start searching. We were going to look all night long. I went back and said, let me go back. He knows where the camp is. Let me go back there just in case. I was there praying, oh God, help me. I can't call mama and tell her that I lost her son out in the mountains. He's dead somewhere. God help me. And all of a sudden I see this light coming down. And I could tell by the way it was doing this that it was Jeff. I said, Jeff, is that you? Yeah. I said, where have you been? He said, well, I got a little twisted around, but I knew where the camp was. I hugged him and he said, what's the matter? I said, everybody's been out looking for you. We've been shooting guns. We've been trying to get your attention. We've got half the mountain looking for you. And he said, well, I knew where the camp was. He said, it just took me a while to get here because I ended up way over there and had to come back this way. Lord, and guys start coming back and we start having a good, I scared death. And he was an adult by that time. I know that feeling. Losing a child can cause a lot of fear, but can I tell you something? Run to the man of God, not from the man of God. She continued to obey the man of God, even in her hurt. When you're hurting, obey what God says. You'll get through it a whole lot easier. Interesting story about Elisha. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, how is it with you? How's our business relations? How's our business ethics? How do we treat one another? Do we look to love somebody and expect them to accept it just because we do it, or because we're looking to give the way they would want something? And are we going to run to the man of God and the things of God are away from?